As Grayson so lovingly said, my name is Matthew Boyd, and I do live with him, and I do share a toilet with him. I'm on staff here with Crew. This is my second year of being on staff, being an intern, and I'm excited to be back. So I spent 5 years here at OU as a student. I graduated in the spring of 2023, and there I am with my family. So you can see my mom and dad, younger sister, older brother, and his wife. And they mean the world to me, super supportive, and I can do anything I do without them behind me. Just love my family. Then the other picture of me, I'll get to that in a second. This past year, I said I've been with Crew on staff for 2 years. Well, some of you that have been around are like, well, Matthew, we didn't see you last year. Where were you? Where were you working at? I was actually overseas. I was doing what we call stinting, which is going overseas, living as a missionary in another country, and spreading the gospel to the people in that country. So I lived in Slovakia. I was telling college students in Slovakia all about Jesus and the gospel. And I remember first getting there, one of the first things we did as a team is we go to a hockey game, right? Because Slovaks love hockey. And so just in there, enjoying the game, 10 seconds get in, home team scores a goal, we're going crazy. And Slovaks are pretty reserved, but at a hockey game, they go nuts. So everyone's going nuts, everyone's up in the air, going crazy. And then 5 seconds after they score the goal, home team gets the puck, shoots it, hits off a defender's skate, up into the crowd, coming right at my face, and I caught the puck. I can't tell you how many baseball games I've been to. Oh, yeah. Come on. I cannot tell you how many baseball games I've been to. I've never caught a foul ball. I've never caught a baseball sitting in the crowd. My first hockey game in Slovakia, I caught a puck. Not too many people can say that they've caught a puck at a hockey game, but I am one of those people. So enough about me. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our story of purpose matters, and God's plan is good. And so we're looking week by week at God's plans for us in Christ. And many of us struggle and wonder, what is our bigger purpose? Why am I here? Why does any of this matter? And when we start to think about that, that can lead to doubt, can lead to depression, and it can lead to anxiety. But God does have a plan for us, which leads to his glory and our joy. And tonight we're going to be looking at surrender as part of God's purpose for us and how Jesus is faithful when we surrender to him. So I don't know about you, but when I see this word surrender, I immediately think of war. All right, my dad, growing up, always was watching war documentaries, World War II typically, and when the bad guys lose, what do? They surrender. Well, I was curious, what does surrender mean? So I looked up the definition, as one does. Surrender means to cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority, to stop fighting and give up control to another power. God asks us to surrender. But our flesh, our selfish desires, our human nature is in this constant state of resisting God. We want to do one thing, God wants us to go another way. We want control of our lives. We want power over our lives. And so tonight we're going to look at a couple of passages. We're going to learn that when we surrender to Jesus, it's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It's actually one of the best things we can do. So first, we're going to flip to Luke 9, and we're going to be reading verses 23 through 24 or through 25. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open up there with me. If not, I have it up on the screen. Luke 9, 23 through 25 says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? When I read this, some of the first things that stand out to me is that Jesus is asking us to follow him, but he says we have to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily. And I'm like, what the heck does that mean? Back in Jesus' day, taking up your cross meant you were about to die. The Romans would make the people that are about to be crucified carry their crosses to take them up and to carry them over to the place where they were about to be crucified. Taking up your cross daily literally means death. And so you might be like, oh, whoa, Jesus asked me to die. What he's asking you to die of, what he's asking you to surrender is your old ways, your selfish desires. He's asking you to surrender your control, your power you want to hold over your life. And our bodies, like, naturally crave temporary pleasures to avoid any kind of pain or discomfort. And surrendering is not a comfortable thing to do. Our bodies naturally want to go the other way to avoid that discomfort, to avoid that pain. But what else does Jesus say in this passage? He says that those that lose their life for him will save it. When we surrender to Jesus, he promises us that we will actually be saving our lives. He promises us eternal life, and he'll bless us when we lay our lives down before him, when we give him control and power over our lives. A story about me when I had to surrender was actually my decision to stint. So again, stinting is going overseas, living as a missionary in another country. To give a little bit of background of how I came to that decision, the summer before my fifth year, I went on summer mission with crew to Bratislava, Slovakia, had a great time. It was great getting to talk to Slovaks, telling them about Jesus. I was like, a month is good. I can surrender a month of my life to go overseas and explore Europe and hang out with some college students in Slovakia. But then I heard about this thing called stint, and I just couldn't get stint out of my mind. I was like, yeah, that's for other people. Another person can go overseas and be a missionary, but not me. I'm like, that seems scary. That seems too much. I have a plan. I already knew what I wanted to do. I'm like, I was getting my degree in education to be an elementary school teacher. I enjoy doing that. I'm like, that's what I want to do because that's comfortable. That feels good to me. That's known to me. All right, I'm going to teach. That's my future plans. Stinting, yeah, that's for someone else. Someone else can do that. I came home from Slovakia summer mission, was still thinking about stinting. I arrived back here at OU for my fifth and final year as a student, and I could not shake the thought of stinting, and that scared me. I was like, I don't want to leave home. I don't want to leave my friends and family behind. I'd much rather stay in the U.S. of A. and be comfortable and get a teaching job. But the more I thought about it, I was like, I need to pray. And so I started praying. I'm like, God, if this is what you want me to do, then your will be done, not mine. I surrender my future to you. Help me figure this out because it seems like you want me to do this one thing. I sought out wise counsel. I remember sitting in B-dubs with Chad and asking him, like, what does stint mean? Like, what does it entail? And him telling me everything that stint was. And after I talked to a few more people, prayed a little bit more, on November 1st, the application opened up and I applied. And I got accepted and I went. And it was a really scary thing to take that initial step and to go over and to leave my friends and family behind to go over there. But Jesus blessed me through that. He comforted me through that. He surrounded me with an amazing team that went over with me. I got to live in Europe, which is pretty dope. I got to explore Europe, and it was great. And so while it was initially scary, when I laid that down before the Lord, he was pretty quick to be faithful and to bless me in that. So my first question for you is, how are you resisting surrendering to the Lord? Seniors, it could be your future plans. It could be your future job. Maybe you have it all planned out like I did, but maybe God's wanting you to walk before him with open hands. It could be something as simple as your weekend plans. Maybe you're like, I like going up on Court Street. That's comfortable. I get to hang out with people. I'm scared of doing something else. But then I have a follow-up to that. What would taking up your cross daily look like in the area that you're thinking about right now? Maybe it could just be opening up your Bible more and reading more. Could be praying more. Or maybe that means picking up my cross daily actually means saying no to my initial weekend plans and I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go watch college football with the boys and eat some pizza. Maybe I'm going to do a puzzle. I don't know. I like puzzles. Puzzles are great. The next passage we're going to look at is Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. And it says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Whew. I want to focus in on verse 39 up there. So as Jesus is praying, he says, may this cup be taken from me. And I'm like, what the heck? What cup? I'm like, why do you have a cup with you and why do you want God taking it away from you? The cup he's referring to is the suffering he knew he was about to face. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going up there to pray and he knows that he's about to be arrested and he knows that he's about to be crucified for our sins. And crucifixion is not pleasant. That was the most painful way you could die. And he knew he was about to suffer and endure so much pain on the cross for us. You might think, well, it's Jesus. Jesus is fully God, right? He is fully God. He's also fully human. And he faced temptations and trials just like us. And like any human that has any common sense, if you know that you're about to suffer, you don't want that. You don't want pain. So shocker, right? Jesus didn't want to die. He didn't want to suffer on the cross. His human nature did not want to suffer. But what was his response? He fell with his face to the ground and prayed. And the words he prayed are extremely important. He said, yet not as I will, but as you will. Sometimes we face painful situations and we have to make hard decisions. Sometimes God's way is the uncomfortable way, is the painful way, is the way where you know, this isn't going to be fun, I'm not looking forward to this, and you want to keep clinging on to whatever it is that's keeping you from following him. But I have some good news for you. God knows what's best for you. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God is not going to let you down when you surrender to him, when you get on your knees and you pray, not as I will, but as you will. He knows what's good for you. And he loves you. And he's right there with you in the garden, crying, praying. Jesus gets it. He knows what it's like to face the will of God and not want that, but to have the courage and the boldness to pray, not as I will, but as you will. So another little story about me. You guys are getting to know me a lot. When I was in college, I was in a very serious relationship. It was great at the time. It was comfortable. I had plans of a future. I was planning on proposing to this girl, marrying this girl, moving down to where she was, and getting a job. Marriage, something I desire, something I wanted. So I was like, yup. Getting a job, getting security, getting a paycheck, yup. Getting to move down where she was. She lived in Virginia. Beautiful state, lots of mountains. I love to hike. So I was like, yep, seems good to me. And then this was February, and I was planning on proposing in June, and this is a few years ago. This was when I was a fourth year in college. Things started not to go too well. Relationships started to become toxic. I won't get into all the details, but I wasn't feeling like myself, she wasn't feeling like herself, and it just wasn't fair to either of us. But I decided, no, I'm like, my plans are to be with this girl, to marry her, and to move down where she is and get a job, so I'm just going to keep fighting. So I fought for a couple more months. It did not get any better. If anything, it got a whole lot worse, because I was trying to force something that just wasn't meant to happen, just wasn't working. And so in those months, I started to pray. I was confused as to what was going on. I was scared to end the relationship. I started talking with a lot of good friends, trying to get advice, like what the heck to do. And I remember one conversation I had in April. I was in Court Street Coffee talking with Jason Hoffman, and it became very clear to me. I'm like, I need to break up with her. And that made me want to throw up. I was like, oh gosh. I'm like, this is going to suck. And we don't live in the same state. So it's like, I got to do it over like FaceTime, which is just not great. And it's like, she had like some of my stuff. I don't know what happened to that. But it's like, it just felt like a rock in my gut of like, oh no. And to make things even better about that conversation with Jason is apparently there's this lady sitting in there eavesdropping on our whole conversation, and she walked up to us and she's like, I think you're doing the right thing. And I was like, okay, God. I'm like, I hear you loud and clear. I'm like, I'll do it. And that was hard. That was really hard. But I broke up with her. And in those moments leading up to, I was like, God, your will be done and not mine. It's like, I really want this, but I trust you, and I trust that you know what's best for me. So I broke up with her. And then that summer, instead of proposing, I went on summer mission. I ended up stinting and living in Europe, which again was dope. And then my whole fifth year, my last year of college was great. Because I wasn't trying to force something to work that wasn't working. I was present with my friends that were here at OU. I lived with some awesome guys. Some of you might know Sadler and Evert. They're awesome. I got to live with them. God sees us and knows that when we surrender to him, he will be faithful. So are you willing to surrender to God and pray, God, not my will, but your will be done? If it means you have to end that relationship, that's just toxic. If it means checking your priorities, what you spend your free time doing, maybe instead of hanging with friends in your dorm or studying all the time, you can take a break and go to a community group. We got plenty. You can hear about the Lord. and talk about things that really matter? Will you surrender to God even if it means saying no to friends that are distracting you from the will of God? And will you surrender to God even if it means saying no to going uptown on a weekend? And what would it look like for you to pray for God's will to be done in your life right now? Surrender is a difficult thing. It means we give up power and control of our lives, but Jesus is faithful. His hands are more secure than ours, and his plan for our lives are greater than we could ever dream. When we surrender our lives to God, we find satisfaction, love, life, and friends, we find purpose. Let me pray. God, I thank you that you are good, that you have our best interests in mind, and that you love us, that when we surrender to you, when we say, not as I will, but as you will, you are faithful, that you take care of your beloved children, and you help us get through the pain and the hurt, because you know what that's like. And I thank you that you know what that's like. So God, I just pray for everyone in this room that if there's something that they need to surrender to you, that they would surrender, that they would say, not as I will, but as you will.